In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I am glad to be with you today. We saw yesterday that the risen Lord showed himself to Mary Magdalene first. And I said, love beckoned Jesus. It's always love that beckons Jesus. Remember, he had not yet gone to the Father. She wanted to touch him. He said, do not touch me. I've not yet gone to the Father. But when he sees Thomas, he says, put your hand in my hand and your fist in my side. That means he's gone to the Father. It was a little ascension. After his death, burial, in his resurrection, he is drawn to Mary Magdalene, to those who really love him. Mary Magdalene becomes the apostle to the apostles. And the scripture says, and many other signs Jesus truly did in the presence of his disciples, and these are not written in this book, but these have been written that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you might have eternal life through his name. The things that John wrote about helps us to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is Messiah. You know, one thing that shows me that Jesus is Messiah is because every time we reach Christmas or Easter, we get a bad article about Jesus. Last year they found his bones. Yeah, they found his bones, all right. This year they found that he was married to a woman. You see, it's always Jesus that the media will put down because he is the way, the truth, and the life. They would never put down Mohammed. They're afraid. But I'm telling you, these criticisms show me that Jesus is Lord. We don't want to have the crush at Christmas. Jesus is Lord. Any sign of Jesus is promoting faith, and faith that you must give your life to him, and faith that you must surrender to him. As we continue to celebrate the Resurrection Day, we continue to say each cemetery should have white flags flowing from the cemetery. Why? Because death has been conquered, and we are to surrender to Jesus. Death has been conquered, and we are to surrender to Jesus. So, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these signs have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing in his name, you might have eternal life. Chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this way showed himself. There were gathered Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I'm going fishing. Now this is interesting. Jesus called them from their nets. Jesus called them from their boats. But Simon Peter is saying, you know what? I want to do something that I know. I want to do something that I understand. I'm tired of waiting for the risen Lord. He comes when he wants. I'm going fishing. I wonder where they got the boat. I wonder if they hired it, because they had sold their boats and sold their nets to follow Jesus. But Simon Peter says, I am going fishing. I tell you, my friends, this is a simple thing. It's very human for Peter to say, I'm going fishing. Because Peter doesn't want to wait for the coming of the Lord as he is risen from the dead. He comes when he wants. They also said unto him, We also will go with you. They went forth and entered into a ship, and immediately that night they caught nothing. You know, when you're running away, you're not going to do anything. You'll catch nothing. When you're running away from Jesus, I'm going to tell you, nothing good can happen. Nothing good can happen. Are you running away from him today? Nothing good can happen. They caught nothing. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, and the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. They didn't know it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have you caught any meat? They answered him, No, I tell you, he made sure of that. Jesus made sure of that. And he said to them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat onto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. So we see Jesus is about to prepare breakfast for them. Where did he get the fish? Well, he's the Lord. It wasn't the fish that they caught. He's the Lord. He's the Lord. Jesus said unto them, Bring your fish that you have caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, for all were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples asked him, Who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Let me tell you, my friends, Jesus is in control of our lives. If we have made him Lord, he is in control. And he can do anything. Because of the resurrection, anything and everything can happen. Jesus is Lord, and he is raised from the dead. And he now is going to dine with the disciples. Isn't that something? Jesus cooks them a meal, and they're going to eat. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he had been raised from the dead. So when they had finished dining, Jesus said unto Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? Peter said unto him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said unto him, Feed my lambs. We're going to see that Jesus is going to ask Simon three times, Do you love me? Because Simon three times disavowed his presence of Jesus. I don't know the man. I never saw the man. I was never with the man. Three times he forsook Jesus. And so three times the Lord is going to ask him, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said unto him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said unto them, Feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said unto him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Feed my sheep. And he said unto him a third time, remember three times Peter said he didn't know the Lord. He said unto him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him a third time, Do you love me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said unto Simon, feed my sheep. Oh, yes, feed them with the word of God. Feed them with the Eucharist. Oh, yes, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. This is the important thing that Jesus tells his priests to do, his ministers to do. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Let them know that I am in love with them. Let them know that I have a plan for them. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. I tell you, I'll say it again. Priests and Christians and ministers have an identity crisis. We don't know who we are in Christ. We don't know how much power we have been given. We don't know very much. So we just kind of take a back seat. I'm telling you, the priest and the minister should take a front seat, because everything that they have to give gives meaning to everything that people choose, if they choose good things. I'm telling you the truth. Priests and ministers do not know who they are in Christ. Ambassadors of Christ. People filled with the power of God because Jesus is raised from the dead. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when you were young, Peter, you girded yourself and walked where you wanted to walk. But when you shall be old, you shall stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee where you would not want to go. Talking about his death. This spake Jesus, signifying what kind of death he should glorify God with. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Follow me. I'm going to tell you, that's the injunction of Jesus. Follow me. Follow me the best way you can. Follow me by giving me your life. Follow me by giving me everything that you have. Follow me. Know that I am the Lord. Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper. This is John. And he said, Lord, which is that betrayed thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? John. What about John? Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? What your job is, follow me. Follow me. Jesus did not say that John would last until he came back again. He said, if I wish. But the whole thing is the injunction to follow Jesus. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? In other words, your business is to follow Jesus, not looking at other people. Not looking at other people saying, what about this one? What about that one? No. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. That's what Jesus says. And this is the disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which that should not be written every one. I suppose that all the world could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. I'm telling you, Jesus continues to work miracles, and Jesus continues to work signs, and Jesus continues to heal the sick, and Jesus continues to answer prayer. All these things that Jesus does, if they were ever written, all the books in the world could not contain them. He continues to work miracles. Yes, he does. I remember the woman who came to me, and I had a word of knowledge that there was someone, I didn't know who it was, that was healed of cancer. And the woman was the woman I was going to be praying with next. And I prayed with her. I didn't know it was she, because the Lord had told me someone was healed of cancer. So she the next day had an operation on her breast because she had cancer. But guess what? There was no cancer. She had her breast taken off for nothing. There was no cancer. But she was happy because she said, you know what? I don't have cancer. Isn't that wonderful? And the only thing we did was to pray with her. Many more things Jesus did where they all recorded, all the books in the world would not be able to contain them. Yes, many more things that Jesus did. We had Honey talk to us, that's what they call her, just the other day, and she started to talk about the miracles that Jesus did to her. Her gums were healed. Her neck was healed. Her eye was healed. The doctors don't know how this could be done. She had a detached retina, and after we prayed with her, the retina was attached. How did these things happen? Because Jesus Christ is Lord, because he has sent to us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the Lord, and he continues to work wonders and signs and miracles. Father Joseph prayed with the man next door who was on his way to have his artery unclogged. Father Joseph prayed with him, and when he went to the hospital, he didn't have to have it unclogged. It was unclogged. And that's what Jesus did through Father Joseph. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. There are many more things that Jesus did where they all recorded, all the books in the world would not be able to contain them. The young man that came to us riddled with cancer. Oh, yes, riddled with cancer. And the only thing we did was to pray with him. When he went back to the nursing home, he was completely healed. My Lord, completely healed by the power of God. This is what Jesus did. Were all the things in the world written, the things that Jesus did, all the books in the world could not contain them. And then the young man who came to me, who had a bone missing in his head, and they were going to reconstruct it. And you know what? The x-rays showed that he was missing this bone. And he came to us, and we prayed with him. After we prayed with him, he had the operation. Guess what? The bone came back. That's right. The bone came back. You might say, I don't believe that. You don't have to believe it. It's true anyway. You're believing it or not believing it doesn't make it true. The young man's witness is, this is what God did for me. Oh, yes, this is what God did for him. There are many more things that Jesus did where they all recorded. All the books in the world could not contain them. And he continues to do these things through faith. Through faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus loved Peter so much that he asked him 3 times, do you love me more than these? And he said, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my lambs. The injunction to priests and ministers and lay people, we are to feed the lambs. We are to feed the sheep. We are to feed the people. The injunction that Jesus gives us, we are to feed people. And I'm going to tell you, people don't know anything anymore. When I was a child, at least we were churched. Oh, yes, we learned all about the days of Easter, that it was 50 days, and we heard that the first 8 days was all Easter day, and Jesus had been raised from the dead, and the church especially took these days to praise God, and they would celebrate Easter for 8 days. It's called an octave. But you see, people don't know anything today. People don't know anything today. They know nothing about Jesus. They know nothing about Jesus. They read the Times, and the Times denies that Jesus is the Lord. But I'm saying to you, what we are to do is to feed the sheep. How do we feed them? With the Word of God and with the Eucharist. With the Word of God and with the Eucharist. There are many more things that Jesus did where they all recorded, all the books in the world would not be able to contain them. Oh, I could tell you stories that last forever. The man in the, not the wheelchair, but the walker, and we prayed with him in Arizona, and he started walking without the walker. Was a miracle. It was a miracle. Then the lady who came to us that was blind, and we saw that she couldn't read one word out of the Bible, and we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and guess what? She started to see, and she read the whole, not only one verse, but the whole story. Beautiful. We've seen these things. But why do we see these things? Because there are many more things that Jesus did through the Holy Spirit. Were they all recorded, all the books in the world would not be able to contain them. What has Jesus done for you? Like, what has Jesus done for me? He's alive. He's been raised from the dead. He loves you. Because he's been raised from the dead, anything and everything is possible. Oh, I want to say that again. Because Jesus is raised from the dead, anything and everything is possible. The devil has lost the victory. The devil is a defeated enemy. Sickness has been carried by Jesus on the cross. He bore our wounds and carried our infirmities. You that I speak to today, you are loved by the Lord Jesus. He loves you to the point of dying for you and rising from the dead. Put your faith in Jesus. You know, people say, you know, we put our faith in the church, and the church they scandalized us. Put your faith in Jesus, and the church will grow. Put your faith in the risen Lord, and the church will grow. But what did these priests do to these kids? It was despicable. But my faith is not in the priest. My faith is in Jesus, who builds the church up as we place our faith in him. You need to place your faith in Jesus. He is the Lord. Remember Peter. He says, I'm going fishing. He had no right to be going fishing. He had sold his boat and sold his nets, so he probably had to rent something. They were just tired of waiting for the risen Lord. And the risen Lord comes, and they don't collect any fish. And Peter realized it was the Lord, and he ran into the sea and, you know, came to Jesus. And Jesus has fish and bread on a charcoal burner waiting for the apostles and waiting for the people that are running away. Jesus is so gentle. Jesus is so gentle. He doesn't scold them. What are you doing out here in a boat? Did you not know that you sold your boats and you gave them away? Did you not know that you sold your nets? Why? Jesus didn't say that. What does he say? Do you love me? Do we love Jesus? Well, I'm going to tell you, how can you love Jesus whom you do not see, if you don't love your neighbor whom you do see? You know what I'm saying? How can you love Jesus whom you do not see? You can experience him if you don't love your neighbor who you can see. You know, you can give me the line that you're a Christian and you're this and you're that and that you speak in tongues. But what about the people that come to you? Do you love them? Do you love them with your heart? You know what Jesus is going to ask us when we die or when he comes again? Did you learn to love? Did you learn to love? Did you learn to love? And we'll either answer yes or no. Did you learn to love? Oh, Jesus tells us this beautiful thing. Did you learn to love? Did you love me? Did you love your neighbor? Did you love the one who drove you crazy? Do you love these people? Tell Jesus how much you love them. Tell Jesus that you want to learn how to love. You want to learn because we don't know how to love. In plain English, we don't know how to love. We don't know how unless Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit. We don't know how to love. So Jesus, we ask you for the gift of the Spirit. We want to pray to you, risen Lord, that we would never, ever disown you, that we would never, ever walk away from you. We want to tell you, Jesus, that we love you, that we love you eternally, that you have given us eternal life, and we love you with that life you have given us. But not only do we love you, Jesus, we love people. Oh, yes, our love is delinquent, not perfect, I should say. Our love is not perfect, but we are called to love people whom we see. I thank you for listening. We're on every day at this time, proclaiming the word of God. Jesus tells Peter to feed the lambs. Hopefully, I have fed some lambs today, and I have fed some sheep today. Hopefully, you know that you are loved by the Lord. I need to hear from you so we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Remember what Jesus said. There are many more things that Jesus did that are not written. I suppose all the books in the world would not be able to contain them. By your Holy Spirit, continue to do these works, we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.